Pastor Michael, we're in a season of questions related to heaven and hell. And today's question is, what and where is Sheol and Hades?
Yeah, so Sheol is a funny word if you're not like used to the Bible. Like, yeah. Why are we talking about Sheol? It sounds like a Hebrew cuss word.
Yeah.
Sheol is a Old Testament word that refers to the conscious location of the dead. And so they would kind of picture Sheol as beneath the earth. Like when we think of heaven, we point up, and we think of hell, we point down. And then you have the word Hades, which is the Greek equivalent to Sheol. And what you find in scripture is that both Sheol and Hades, because again, it's the same place, just two different languages. One's an Old Testament reference. The other is a New Testament reference. Both of them have two sections to them. One is for those who have trusted in God, and the other is for those who have not. And so I think the best text to go to is in Luke chapter 16. And we should read this together. Mm-hmm. And let me kind of just set up the context. People have debated whether or not Jesus is telling a true story about real people with real names, or if he is kind of making up characters, but he's explaining is what happens in the afterlife. But when you die, where do you go? Mm-hmm. And so he gives this story. And you find that there's two sections here, and he calls it Abraham's bosom. So just to be clear, Sheol, Abraham's bosom, and Hades are kind of all the same place. Okay. Mm-hmm. And they have two sections. So okay. Luke 16, verse 19, could you read that?
Yep. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side.
Awesome. So some translations go Abraham's bosom. And so this is a subset of Hades or Sheol. And so Abraham's bosom is where the poor guy goes. He doesn't go there because he's poor. Jesus is very clear. If you're going to be with him, you have to believe, right? But he's the righteous one. And then the rich guy, he's in a very different location here. Okay. So we're in Sheol, we're in Hades. And then you have one side is Abraham's bosom, and the other side is not so great. It goes on.
Okay. The rich man also died and was buried, and in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame."
Awesome. So what's interesting is sometimes the New Testament refers to Hades as just the afterlife. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's a synonym for just hell itself. And so here what you find is you have Sheol, or you have the place of the dead, and then you have the good side and you have the bad side. And he calls the good side Abraham's bosom, and Abraham's side, if you will. And then he calls the bad side Hades. But I wish everything was this cut and dry, because again, sometimes the New Testament refers to Hades as just the place of the afterlife. And then sometimes it kind of refers to it as the bad side of the afterlife.
So to be clear, sometimes it can be the place where everyone goes when they die, mm-hmm. just the place of the dead. And other times it can be something more specific than
yes,
that.
Yeah. But here he's like, it typically has a negative connotation to it. And so here he's taking that negative connotation. So you have the afterlife, right? There's two sides to it. Mm-hmm. You have Sheol, like David goes down to Sheol. Sheol's not necessarily bad, mm-hmm. unless you don't believe in God. So what Jesus is doing, though, is he's taking a theology of Sheol, the theology of the afterlife, and in the Greek language that it's being translated into, he's integrating some of these concepts, but it's all the same concept. There's a place of the dead, and on one side is bad, and the other side is good. But he goes on.
Verse 25, "But Abraham said, Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us."
All right, so this is really important. The Orthodox 2,000 years of a Christian tradition, like we're all on the same page. When you die, there are no second chances. Mm-hmm. And this is, again, one of those stories that Jesus tells to kind of communicate. Like, if there was an opportunity for a second chance, this guy probably would have taken it, at least in the story. And he realizes, like, to get to Abraham's side of this afterlife, the chasm is so big, nobody can get across. Mm-hmm. And so this is really one of the primary places where we like have the doctrine that you cannot get a second chance when you die. Mm. Also it comes to the book of Hebrews when the author says it is appointed that man die once and then face judgment. And so you don't get die, then make a decision and then be judged. No, it's death, then judgment. Mm. And you'll know right away when you die, which side you're on. He says one side's in anguish. That's the rich guy.
Yeah.
And then the poor guy is on Abraham's side where he's in the presence of God. Mm. So keep going. There's more.
Verse 27. And he said, then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment. But Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. He said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead.
Yeah, and his point is this. We have everything we need this side of heaven, this side of death, or being alive, to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. And people have this notion that like, oh man, if somebody would just have told them, if they would have just used a better argument. And the reality is if someone's heart is humble and they have an inclination to trust in Christ, they will do it. Somebody coming back from the dead won't change anything. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, that already happened. His name's Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. The people who actually saw Jesus, like they're like, he was dead and now he's alive. That didn't even convince some of them. And so what we find is that miracles cannot soften the hard heart, right? What softens the hard heart is going to be humility in receiving the gospel. Mm-hmm. So here's kind of what we have, right? We have Sheol. Sheol has two sections. The New Testament word is Hades, but sometimes Hades just refers to the bad section. But you have Abraham's side and you have the bad side. And when you die, you want to make sure you're going to Abraham's side. Jesus has another word for it and he calls it paradise. So he's looking at the thief on the cross and the thief believes and he says, today you're going to be with me in paradise or Abraham's side. Or we call this now also a different word. We use the word heaven.
Yeah.
Heaven, this is interesting, like heaven is not our eternal abode. Mm. Heaven is a temporary holding place for those who have trusted in God before the final judgment. Because after the final judgment, what happens? Resurrection.
Yeah.
New earth.
New heaven.
So heaven is not our forever home. The new earth is our forever home when heaven and the earth come back together, the physical and the spiritual are brought back into one functioning whole.
Yep.
Like right now, we can't go look at angels. Like there's something that is blocking us from being able to fully experience the spirit realm. Well, all that's going to go away on the new earth. So like right now we have heaven, which is Abraham's side or paradise. All of them though are technically a subset of Sheol. Mm-hmm. And so it's very interesting. The Hebrews process Sheol under the ground. When Paul talks about heaven or paradise or where Jesus is, he processes it. He calls it the third heaven.
Yeah.
So there's like the first heaven, which is going to be kind of the clouds and the sky. The second heaven is the stars. And he's like, oh, no, the place where God dwells, it's the third heaven. It's above even kind of the stars and the galaxies. Mm. And so, again, this is a bunch of physical people trying to make sense of a spiritual place.
Yeah.
Is it up? Is it down? Is it left? I'm not even going to pretend to figure out like where it is.
Yeah.
But I appreciate this. Like Paul says that to be away from the body is to be present with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And you just see this idea that when the body and the soul are separate, they go to the temporary holding place. We use the words kind of loosely heaven and hell. But hell isn't even technically the right place because hell doesn't exist yet. Mm. Hell will be created for the devil and his angels on the new earth. More to come on that, right?
This is a future episode.
Yeah. So like technically, like we've got heaven and Hades. And so it's, again, the vocabulary is interesting, but as long as you know, it's a spiritual place. There's a good side, there's a bad side. Good side is for those who trust in God. Bad side is for those who have rejected God. How do you know that? You know that by whether or not you have professed faith in him. And that faith is proven by the way you live your life.
Yeah.
And so Jesus is just, you know, pretty clear on believe in me. And how do I know if you've actually believed in me? Well, there's going to be some life transformation.
Yeah.
There. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot there. Right. And I think we're going to continue to get into this in this season, which I'm excited about. Yeah. A lot of questions that people have. And there's a lot of bad doctrine, bad theology that maybe people were just brought up in depending on their traditions or, you know, from culture and media portraying things a certain way. So I love that we're getting into the text and we're really like saying, what does the text say? And we're trying, again, use physical vocabulary for things that we don't really understand fully, but we at least can see what the text says and go from that.
I want to understand it fully.
Yeah.
You know, I'm jealous of Paul that he even got a vision into what heaven is like. And his response was, no eye has seen, nor heart of man imagined, nor ear heard what the Lord has prepared for those who love him. And he got a vision not into the new earth, but into heaven.
Yeah.
John's vision of Revelation, it's into heaven. We're not even at the new earth yet. Now, we should expect there'll be some similarities because the two converge and become kind of one entity. But I want to see all that. Yeah. I'm jealous.
Yeah. This is going to be really fun, I think, to explore all of this. So thank you for helping us understand that.
My joy.